We're back.
It's good to see you.
It's good to see you, Mark.
Glad you had a nostalgic getaway.
Yes, that's true. That's exactly what it was. We to clarify for the listener, for 4th of July, we went up to, well, not just for 4th of July, but for a couple of weeks, actually, we went up to Minnesota, which is where I'm from. Got to see some sights from my childhood and
and
Megan's, and it was a good time.
Yeah.
A good time spent it with our family and some friends, and got to see some old friends and some old sights.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a neat thing. I know when we go back, sometimes my kids get tired of me saying that's where I went to school, and that, because we've gone back so many times, because family.
Yeah.
But this is the first time you've been able to take your kids back to be able to see some
maybe
of those.
Maybe in 5 years or so.
Oh, okay.
So,
gotcha.
You know, when we went last time, maybe Mia would have remembered some of the stuff, but we didn't necessarily go to all the things either. And it was, last time we were there was for Christmas, so it was more snow in that kind of thing.
Different. Completely different environment at that point from July 4th to Christmas time.
Speaking of different environment, I went and saw my childhood home.
Yeah.
And the trees.
Oh, really?
Just transformed. It's like, that's not the same place. It can't be. And it really is. But it just looks so different with all the mature trees around.
I bet.
When I remember, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
They weren't mature trees.
Yeah.
That's how old I am, you know. Like, I'm a mature tree myself.
How old are you, Justin? I'm a mature tree now.
That's right.
How many fingers do you hold up for that? You put them all
That's
up.
That's right. All of them. Yes.
Yeah. Well, neat. I'm glad you had a good time.
Yeah. And you too. You got to go see some your stomping grounds.
Yeah, yeah. We
grounds,
had the wedding. But, yeah. But like you say, we got to Pennsylvania, not quite up to our home, as I think Chris and I. But yeah, it was good.
New York being...
Yeah, that's where Chris and I established our home is in Southern Tier, New York. So,
As part of our trip, we went and saw the Lake Superior, which is always cool.
Yeah.
And when you go up to New York, do you see Lake Huron?
No. My brother's actually south of Erie, so I'll see,
Lake Erie,
that kind of thing.
You've been there then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
They're always fun to see.
Yep.
I feel like.
Yeah, I forget the little isle that's there. It's... I think of Pulaski, but that's, no, either way.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's islands.
It's a P.
You think of them.
It's a P name.
Gotcha. And
then, I was thinking of Michigan.
Yeah, but, there's a cool island in Lake Michigan, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that has its own little rocks. What are the little rocks?
Oh.
They have a little shimmer to them.
I don't know.
But they're only in
Linda
that
knows. She's probably shouting it right now. Sorry, Linda. You've become our placeholder for any listener.
Yeah, place where we can't think of the word.
Where we figure you're shouting it on the other end.
That's right.
But I didn't know if my kids would be that impressed with Lake Superior because ocean, right?
Sure.
But they were pretty blown away that they couldn't see across it, you know?
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
It really is an impressive thing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yes. Welcome to How I See It with me, Mark Pratt, and
Justin Sternberg. This is a podcast that works to counter cultural polarization through thoughtful conversations. So what topic are we discussing today?
Well, you brought it to the forefront, so I figure I'll let you introduce it if you'd like.
All right, sure. So we're going to talk about quitting. And why are we talking about quitting? Well, I think quitting can be a polarizing topic in the sense that quitting is generally looked at as being bad, you know? And I think, in many cases it is, right? The reason it's polarizing is because sometimes you got to quit, you know? So I think we're going to talk about, when it makes sense and what that stigma looks like and why there's a stigma and, and just kind of exploring that idea of quitting.
When it makes sense, are there times when it doesn't make sense?
Quitting?
Yeah.
Well, sure. I mean, I think, again, that's kind of the common, I would say the common prevailing wisdom is that you don't quit. You just don't quit. You stick to it. And I would agree with a lot of that, right? And that you need to have some stick-to-itiveness.
There you go.
And be able to stick through difficult things, push through, do hard things, you know, not quit when the going gets tough, that kind of thing.
Sure.
I think that's very important. I think you would probably agree, right?
Yeah. So what comes to mind for you? What specific eras or times do you think of for you specifically when quitting comes to mind? A time when you maybe should have and didn't, or did and wish you wouldn't have, that kind of thing. Do you have those experiences?
Yeah, you always got to get all personal with it. I'm going to dig deep.
It's time to hold your breath, Justin. We're going down.
Going deep. I got on the diving board. That's a good question. I think it is a personal thing for me. I mean, that's why I kind of added to our topic list, because there have been times. I may have mentioned it on here before, but probably haven't. But one of the ways I tend to stick to things too long, to the degree where, you know, I should give something up sooner than I do. But the way that I kind of determine, okay, it's time to move on from this thing, is usually when the pain is too great, right? Like,
okay,
it's impacting family, it's impacting, you know, kind of my psychic or psychology.
Sure.
What's the word for that? Mental health.
Psyche. Yeah.
Yeah. Or it's just taking away from things that are more important.
Okay.
And so often I get to the point where I realize I need to quit a thing after it's already kind of negatively impacting my life. And there's a phrase I overuse in my life, kind of like the stick.
Yeah.
I brought that up on our trip quite a bit. People were real tired of it. It was fun. That's giving me my sad claim to fame, the stick. Anyway, okay. Back to the, and let me go back deep again with you. He's still down there. I got to catch up.
I'm okay.
So the phrase I like to use is the grace runs out. So essentially, you know, I feel like God gives us grace to endure and, you know, do hard things, and his grace is sufficient, right? And there are lots of verses about how his grace, you know, equips us and enables us and gives us, and, you know, from my perspective, supernatural abilities to be patient when it doesn't make sense to be patient, or stick to something when it feels like, you know, most people would quit or whatever. And I believe grace enables a lot of that, versus like taking personal credit for being like, whatever that personality trait is. I do believe there's a huge amount of grace that comes along with that. And so that's why I always describe it, is it feels like when it's time to quit, the grace ran out, and now it's kind of like the oil in a car running out. You know, there's a leak. Yeah. It's all gone. Now your car is running on without any oil.
Yeah.
And it's all friction, all heat. It feels like it's going to explode. Doesn't make sense. It ran fine last month. Why is it, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It kind of has that feel to it. And that's often when I realize, oh, I need to pull the car over.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. Would you say some of that, though, I realize it sounds as if there's a building that goes along with this, to where it's like good things out of priority. In other words, it began as a good thing, something that I could do, something I might have even felt led to do.
Yep.
But yet I stayed in too long. In other words, there was a season. And I just tried to make this a lifetime.
Yeah.
Is that what you're kind of describing?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And I would say too, like for my particular personality, I don't know that I'm great at seeing those signs of, oh, that season has ended or is ending.
Sure.
It's kind of like I said, the oil's got to run out before I start looking around and go, oh, you know?
Yeah.
And I've just realized that's one of the ways that I've learned God uses to show me it's quitting time. You know,
I hear you.
And you know, you could call it so many other things. That doesn't sound like quitting. I feel like it's a good polarizing word, right? But,
sure.
You know, seasonal, time to move on, whatever. But I mean, in a lot of ways, from my personality, it feels like I'm quitting, and it feels wrong and bad and shameful. Does that make sense?
Sure.
So that's kind of where the polarizing nature comes in, where it's definitely the right thing, the healthy thing. The season is over.
Yeah.
You know, the signs are clear, you know, and yet it feels shameful to me because it's quitting, you know?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, it makes sense. And I think I appreciated as you were describing, you know, you mentioned different verses. I think, you know, that whole aspect of Galatians 6, where it talks about, you know, do not grow weary in doing good.
Yes.
For in season, you know, you will reap. You know, that kind of thing. And that's, you know, and I think that can be one of those verses that we kind of hold on to when we go too long.
Yeah.
You know, but I think, you know,
especially if you're doing something
good.
Good, right?
Yeah.
Like a spiritually good, whatever. You
yeah.
know, like you have that perception. Yeah.
And I think, you know, in a lot of cases, even, you know, like I think of like Ephesians 4, where it talks about, you know, not living as the Gentiles in the futility of their thinking, which leads to a hardness of heart, you know? And I think it is at times that hardness of heart that affects our ability to quit.
Yeah.
I can do it. I got this my way. I'm
going
to gut this out.
Or I did it up until now. Why can't I now?
Yeah. And I think sometimes we're told, I mean, I would take that verse. You know, yeah. Quit it. Quit living as the Gentiles in the futility of your thinking, you know, which leads to a hardness of heart. And I, as you, we were talking about that in that process, I think about it as it comes to sometimes I want to continue doing the things that I want to do, you know, whether that's, you know, working a job, you know, that I don't, you know, find fulfilling, or, you know, certain or relationships. Relationships would be another area where it's like, no, I'm holding on to this relationship because I can't be alone. And, you know, so therefore I can't give up. That would be, but yet I'm in a stage of life. I'm in a season of life where now is the time to, you know, move on or change that relationship because I'm holding on in my own strength in some ways because I'm scared to do it differently.
Yep.
And I think, so, you know, I mean, I think,
relationships
Yeah, because I think that's where, and I like that, the Ephesians part, because I think it gives us the ability to quit, and it helps us to recognize at times, because I think when we talk about quitting, it's more a matter of a sensitivity, of knowing, like you described, that season's over. And I think that takes a sensitivity, and we lose that when we kind of, say to God, this is the way I'm going to do it. And this is what I'm, you know, in that, you know, I can make this work. And because that's what I run into so much. And, you know, it's like, you can make it work, but you're also doing all the work in this relationship. And you may need to pull out of that relationship in some ways. And here again, I'm not always referring to a marital relationship. Sometimes I'm working, you know, with dating individuals and so forth who, you know, it's a little different when you're married from my perspective.
Yeah.
But if someone's coming to me about a relationship and I don't know, it's like, oh, hold on. It seems as if you're the one that's doing all the work, you know. And it's okay to find someone else who actually wants to partner
to
with
contribute.
You. Yeah. And so that I think that sensitivity to know or to be able to listen is an important part of that that quitting dynamic. But go ahead. There's just more. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think for me, and this is, and granted, I definitely have personal experience. It was funny because actually before the 4th, when Chris and I were part of the church plant, you know, I recognized that I was arrogant.
You were part of a church plant before the 4th?
Yes. Yes. Many years ago when we, and I thought up here again, I'm thinking of the conversations we've had and the, you know, but, Chris and I came to Wilmington as part of a church plant.
Cool.
So we were
many years ago.
Many years ago. 2008 was actually the time.
Was it around the 4th?
No, actually we had July, I believe it was July 8th.
Okay. So we're getting after to the before the 4th part.
Yeah. Well, this is the beginning and the end. But long story short, we were part of that church plant. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those things where I was on a kind of a leadership role. My pride and arrogance got the best of me because I wanted to stay that. But yet it was also a point where, you know, it was just wearing on us as a couple and a family. And I wasn't able to see that we needed to pull back, you know? And so I think what my pride caused issues there. And then, so I realized, hey, yeah, we got to maintain the family dynamic because church isn't necessarily a higher priority than family. And I had made it a higher priority based on kind of that God's work. This is God's work, you know, and we can, you know, sometimes in our what needs to be reprioritized, we can put church and serving other people equal to God, which should be, you know, number one, then, you know, your wife and then family, those kind of things. So my priorities, long story short, my priorities were out of line. And I got to the point where we saw it and then we pulled back and, you know, but it always kind of lingered that we had done that wrong, you know, to quit on those individuals. And it, you know, it was interesting because we actually got together with that couple that led the church, the pastor of that church, you know, Chris and Ashley.
Before the 4th?
Right before the 4th. They came over to our place. And so we really did have a nice time, you know, being able to say, you know, I apologize for what was ours. And, you know, they were able to kind of share, it did, you know, I was able to hear the fact that, you know, our choice left them in kind of a lurch, you know, and I was able to, you know, we were able to apologize for that immaturity on our end. But, you know, at the same time, you know, we were able to recognize, they were able to kind of share and say, you know, back then he was honest and willing enough to share. I'm not sure I know any more than I did when I was back then where church plants are concerned, but he said, you know, there was things that they would do differently as well. And it was just kind of a healing conversation, I think, for both of us to be able to put it out there in the air and recognize that there was some of that shame and guilt, like you talked about, for when we, you know, leave something. And I don't think I necessarily was dealing with it from the sensitivity that I just described either, you know, that I could do, but that's also, you know, 23, you know, 15 years ago, give or take. And there's been a lot of changes in that process, but that was one of the things that kind of came to mind for me when you brought up the topic of quitting was that church plant and how that got all mixed up in our lifestyle. And the other part for me that's quitting, I think of Old Testament. I go back to the Old Testament, like Chronicles, where you had these guys that followed after the Lord for so many, you know, they were like David. They did the things that David did until they turned away from God, you know, that kind of thing. And so often it was that later on in life type thing. And that's, I think that in some ways, when I think of quitting, that becomes almost a fear, if you will.
Like a legacy killer.
Yeah, that I could go so far doing it well, so long doing it well, doing it God's way.
Quit went right before the miracle. You heard that phrase, don't quit before the miracle happens.
Exactly. But I think, you know, I think there again, I think it's a matter of priorities that need to change or did change as I look back, you know, and think about it scripturally. So, but those, that's my experience some of my experiences on quitting.
Yeah, that's similar to my personal one in that, you know, you did ask me my personal thing and I managed to skip answering, but it's very similar to yours in that I was, you know, the director of Celebrate Recovery for a few years. And at the end, I mean, that's how I describe it. I mean, really, I've realized in the last decade that that's pretty much my cue when I should quit, when I should move on, you know, is when the grace runs out, is how I describe it. It's just like, okay, everything was working and now it's not. And the plates can no longer be juggled in before. And that, you know, earlier you said, I can do it. You know, this idea that I need to do it. I can do it. For me, it's more like I should do it. Why am I not able to now when I was before? And just kind of, that's why I was saying earlier that there's so much grace there that we don't necessarily even see, and we tend to take credit for it, you know?
Sure.
And it's that oil, the lubrication, and that's what I call grace, in the sense that things are working and you're able to handle things as they come up, problems, solve them, not lose your cool, all that kind of stuff. It just feels right. It feels like you're doing the right thing. You're in the right place. And then sometimes that stops. And there's not a visible thing you can look at and go, that's why it stopped. Or, you know, that person or that thing or that event. It's like, no, it just seems like the oil started running out for no good reason. There must be a leak or something, you know?
How do you separate those two? Because I think there are some circumstances, some difficult hurdles, if you will, that we probably do need to address, or people we need to, you know, talk, have difficult conversations with.
Yeah, you're not supposed to quit at the first sign of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you separate those two, that grace running out, even though there might be that difficult dynamic, that difficult individual, you know, or individuals, or, you know, a lack of, well, I think of CR, you know, just in the context of a lack of, you know, whether it's childcare or worship team or, you know, all of those
difficult situations.
Yeah. Obstacles, if you will.
Yeah. Obstacles. No, that's a good question. I don't think there's a perfect answer, but I will say, again, I like the oil analogy because I think, number one, there's regular the maintenance things you do.
Okay.
You should do. And if you don't, you can expect things to start going off the rails, right?
Like, sure.
So I think that's part of it, is are you no longer doing the things that you know you need to do to maintain this vehicle? Like, you know what I mean?
Putting oil in the engine.
Putting oil in the engine, yeah. And I feel like you can start to look at signs or symptoms and say, well, I haven't been putting oil in for a long time, and that's part of it, you know. Mm-hmm. And for that, you know, you go, well, I need to put oil in, and then you do that. And I think, too, like with the oil analogy, like you do have signs before you're broken down on the side of the road.
Sure.
Typically, you know, your engine's getting a little hot, whatever. Mm-hmm. You have opportunities to make some changes. And some older vehicles, you get all the signs, you put oil in, you do the things, and it still gets worse and overheats. And it's just the car's old and seals are shot and whatever the thing is, right?
Like
it's time.
It's worn out.
You know, it's worn out. And I think that's true in these types of things, where sometimes it's a fixable thing. Sometimes you attempt to fix it and you realize, that wasn't it either. And you try again, that wasn't it either, right? And you start to realize, like, well, crap, you know, maybe this engine's worn out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think for me, that's kind of, it's not like, I think my struggle is holding on too long. So, as far as like quitting at the first thing, I don't feel like that's my personality at all. I think it's kind of the opposite, but I definitely don't believe that's what we're meant to do, is look at every struggle as a sign.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
I believe we're supposed to persevere and you know, it is. That's why this is tough.
Yeah.
Is I think there is also an important sensitivity, to use your phrase, right? Yeah. To recognize, like, this is different and this hits different, you know? And for me, again, it really just comes down to difficult situations previously were difficult, but manageable. And when it shifts from manageable to, well, crap, that plate just cracked and broke. And now I feel like this one's about to crack and break. And, you know, it's just kind of, it just hits different. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I can't explain it other than to say, I do believe that's one of the clearest ways God has made known to me that it's time to move on from something, is when the plates start cracking and falling. And like, I think I'm a little bit stubborn. And so that's that's the way that it gets my attention is. And I'd like to be more sensitive, right? To have a better clue in that. But I think that's the stick, right? So the good side of the stick is the perseverance. And I do have this ability to just stick in something for a long time while it's hard. The bad side of the stick is not having that sensitivity to know, all right, well, it's my season is complete. And now it's time to move on and do that in grace.
Yeah, I was thinking about your analogy of the cracking plate and the spinning of the plates, if you will. You know, because I think here again, when we're talking about quitting, when we have too many plates spinning, you know, and we're trying to maintain a lot of plates in the air, I think there is that point where we come to a realization, okay, I can hand this plate off to someone else even before it drops and breaks. And I think that's a good leadership dynamic, if you will, to be able to know what I can delegate. Because sometimes I think we hold on to too long because we see ourselves as the only one that can.
Again, I always shift my mindset when you say the only one who can, or I can, or I think should. Replace can with should. I'm the only one who should.
I hear you.
You know, so that's the struggle for me personally is handing things off. It's like, I feel like I shouldn't.
Because you're the only one that's capable.
No.
No?
It's not about it.
Help me understand the should then. Why should I?
I feel like as the leader, I should do the hard things. Like I should shield others from, you know, whatever. And so if it's hard, I should be doing it.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense? That's the struggle that I have. And I have a hard time saying, having that sensitivity to know, just, you know, like, yeah, this is hard, therefore someone else should do it.
I hear where you're coming from.
My natural inclination is to say, it's hard, so I should do it. I shouldn't have someone else. You know what I mean?
I do. What I'm hearing is in this process, say we got 10 plates spinning, just as an example, we're going to automatically, in some ways, I think by default, we're going to prioritize the plates unknowingly or by default. We're going to make sure we're keeping some of them spinning. And those ones, number one and two, like your family, your relationship with God, you're going to do your best to keep those spinning. You're not going to hand them off to anyone else, because those are the plates that, from your perspective, those are the ones that you should spin. You're the only one, from my perspective, that can spin those plates. And yet
that's such a simple phrase you just said, but that's not. I would say that's a struggle for a lot of people to even realize what you just said and live by that. Even for me, sometimes, that's why it's hard to quit. But
I gotcha.
But ultimately, I do come back to that truth.
Okay.
And that's what kind of pushes me over the edge to say, yeah, it's time to quit that, is because these two plates are, I'm starting to see them shake and they shouldn't.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But, I just want to pause real quick to say that's significant. And if you're listening, like, hear that.
I got you. Know?
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Carry on.
No. And that's where I'm saying, you know, so when we get to plates 9, 8, 9, and 10, you know, those are ones that maybe we need to consider from a leadership dynamic, handing off to others who, you know, are equally, if not better, equipped to spin those plates. You know, and that I think that's where that can and should can kind of get mixed up when I, you know, as I see, you know, that someone else may actually be able to do that better. Yeah. I think that's a sensitivity.
Yeah. It's my struggle in that.
Yeah.
Really has a lot to do with, okay, I'm trying to spin 10 plates.
Yep.
And I need to get rid of this 10th one. It's too much. And I see Mark and I'm like, oh, Mark could do it. He could spin that plate probably better than I can. And then I look at him and go, wait, it looks like maybe he has 9 plates spinning too.
Sure.
Okay. So maybe this, they got 8 plates and, you know, one of those plates is really heavy. Whatever. Yeah. And I start assessing other people's abilities or, you know, like not abilities, but I just feel bad. I feel bad asking someone to take the plate because I'm like, it's hard for me to spin. It's going to be hard for you. And I don't want to put that on you. I feel like I'm supposed to do the hard things because I'm at the, you know, in these particular cases at the top of this food chain, and I should be shielding you from that hard thing. Not, gotcha. Not, does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Because if the way I'm hearing it, you know, you tend to assess.
Yes.
Other people
probably incorrectly
at times we all
stick.
Yeah.
It's probably a stick thing, right? Where I think it's good.
Okay. I'm with your family now. Drop the stick, spin the plate. No, I'm just.
You see?
No, it's all good. But yes, being able to recognize though that if you will, on the other end of that is you can be giving someone a gift.
Yes.
When I think even of CR, you know, and that transition of leadership, you know, being able to hand that off to someone, you know, in a specific way, I believe that is a gift that says, hey, you have the abilities. Mm-hmm. I see these abilities in you. I'm not necessarily counting your plates for you, but is this a plate that you would be interested, that you feel you have a desire to spin?
Yeah.
Because I am honestly looking to, you know, not spin this plate anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that can be, you know, a ministry. I think that can be a, you know, a bunch of different things.
And I want to be clear, like, I'm not saying the way I do, I feel like I'm doing it right. I'm just saying that's my bent, right? So the way I augment my weaknesses in that way is I'm like, well, talk to someone like you, like, and you'll give me that advice about you should consider giving it to them or whatever, like, or, you know, just being able to say like, am I crazy or should I be giving this away or whatever, and the answer is like you know, and then I'm like, okay, good, you know, like that should kind of fades a little bit into it, more of a I should actually give it away instead of I should be shielding everyone from this and doing it myself. I mean, does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. Cause and I think that's the difficulty of should at times is I can take that and spin it in my own mind so much that it becomes, well, there isn't any other choice.
Yeah.
This is the way and I should.
Yeah.
And it's when I talk with someone else, it's like, there might be another way.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm robbing someone else by me kind of just doing this my own way or in my own energy.
Back to the idea of quitting. Yep. For me, that it becomes time when all those things that I do that usually work, like talking to someone else, getting advice, and just all the tools that I've learned, right? When they no longer are keeping me above water, right?
And
it's
like,
okay, I think it's time to consider moving on, that this season is over. And I guess I'd like to transition to that, the idea of, let's talk about what it means to quit well.
Okay.
Because I think, I mean, in your own story, you said you had that good conversation with, as a pastor, right? And his wife and kind of how that,
Chris and Ashley,
how that left them and that kind of thing. And I've gone through similar situations where I, you know, just maybe not quitting well. Maybe I'm not putting that on you. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. But that came to mind for me is like, can we do a better job of quitting well? Because since there is such a stigma on quitting, I think often we wait till the last minute and then we explode. We explode quit. You know what I mean?
No, I
hear
you.
That's not good either. You know, so.
Quit well almost seems like an oxymoron. They're opposite ends.
Yes.
I
think there's, correct me, or, you know, I'm sure you agree, but like, I would love to hear your thoughts on what does it mean? What do you see? How do you consider that we can quit well? Does that make sense?
Sure. And I think you bring up a great point, as far as so often when, you know, the heat has built and we haven't necessarily addressed any issues, you know, we have this volcano type quitting where everything erupts and there's lava everywhere and there's heat, more heat hitting people that shouldn't be being hit, you know, and so therefore we just separate from there.
Yep.
You follow me? Yep. That, unfortunately.
Yeah, the car blows up and now you're stuck on the side of the road. Yep. It's like, well, we're quit. We're done.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think so often from my, and here again, I'm not trying to, I'm massaging the word, if you will, quit. I think transition. is a good thing. And to be able to think to be able to think about it in the dynamic of saying, okay, yeah, there's a transition that needs to be made here. And in order for a good transition to happen, we have to start talking about this, you know, and number one, I talk with God about that transition. I talk with my spouse about that transition. I talk with my family, you know, then other people, you know, to be able to say, okay, you know me, you know who I am, and this is where I'm at. This is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm thinking. And, you know, what are your thoughts on that kind of thing, to where, and granted,
like
I'm not
a collaborative effort.
Yeah. Almost. I'm not necessarily taking an issue that I have with someone else. That's not correct. You know, I'm not taking a one-on-one issue to a bunch of other people to talk with them about that. You know, if I have an issue with an individual in a ministry or
when it comes to more of a relational, grace running out relationally. Right. Yeah.
But I think we do have to, you know, be able to talk with that individual if that's the case, having conversations. And then, you know, if that doesn't go well, you know, maybe, you know, definitely bringing other people in, you know, to be able to say, okay, this is where we're at an impasse, you know, because I think that's part of a good transition, or quitting well, if you will, to be able to say, okay, yeah, there is a issue here, and we're at an impasse, or, you know, the grace is running out on this. And I think at that time, you know, when I've had those conversations, and, you know, if someone is able to take up that plate, you know, and spin it, that's a good transition, and I can step away.
Yeah.
And I think there is that being said, I also think if I've done all that work and someone else hasn't come forward or doesn't adopt that plate, I may just have to let that plate quit spinning in general and recognize, okay, it was a vacuum that didn't need to be filled type thing.
Yeah.
And that's okay too.
Yeah.
It wasn't for me. And by me stepping away, if it really needs to be done, someone else will do it.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. I think there is some interesting distinctions between relational, kind of the relational side of this, or kind of
occupational, if you will.
Sure, occupational.
The things that I do.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, and I think letting the plate fall is a scary proposition when you feel like that was my plate to carry, you know. It's like,
sure,
when it comes to the point, I think that for me is one of the hardest points, where you go, well, crap, I might have to let this thing fall. It feels wrong, it feels bad. That's where the shame, the guilt comes in. And I think ultimately for me, counsel is a big part of that, to recognize, well, there's no reason for shame or guilt, because, you know, it's clear, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And I need that. I need that third party voice telling me that. And sometimes, a lot of times, the Holy Spirit is the one who kicks out that conversation or ends it, right? To say, this is my, what I desire for you, you know? So I'm trying to be in tune, but I'm also like, am I crazy? Am I hearing this wrong? You know, I like to get other voices, because I just don't trust myself very well, you know, when it comes to that. But relationally, it can be very difficult for a lot of reasons, right? It's because you're basically saying, I'm running out of grace for you, right?
Yeah.
And how do you have that conversation? Well, it's hard, but I think it's important. Transitioning. It's hard. It's like, I really feel like there needs to be a distinction between relational and using the word occupational, but really kind of any positional type thing.
Things we do.
Yeah, things we do, yep. Because I think occupationally, things we do, whatever. It's about, you know, transitioning is about communication and about having some buffer. I think it's about time and communication. It's about saying, hey, this is my goal, my plan, just to quit doing this thing, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Let's work together to figure out what that looks like. Mm-hmm. And by this time, that plate will fall one way or another. You know, I think that's an important part of it too, because some organizations or opportunities, they'll just continue to use you until you drop the plate.
Sure.
So if you don't have a very clear definition of what that time frame looks like, I feel like that's a healthy thing in terms of quitting well, is being able to say, you know, this is the amount of time I have to give to this transition. I'd love to do what I can in that time to allow that transition to occur, whether it's helping find a replacement or training a replacement that you find, or, you know, I think that's good. And I can definitely say there have been times I have not transitioned well, right? I haven't quit well. It's been like, well, it's time. And the conversation was, sorry, it's time to move on. And I, you know, I can say that those times I'm not the most proud of, right? Like, I'd much rather have been able to look back and say, I helped them transition well.
Sure. How would you say, as you're making that clarification, what would be some of the differences you would see between how we are supposed to do a relational transition versus an occupational or things we're doing?
Well, for one, it's not like handing off a thing.
Okay.
Right? Like a thing to do and saying, you know, if basically I'm done with this relationship in 5 months, between then and now, you need to figure out how to do these things that I was doing. Uh-huh. Like, that feels like it doesn't feel like it fits, but you're smiling like maybe it's not that different, but.
Well, when you were making that, it's not that I would say they're always completely different either.
Yeah.
Is kind of, you know, because I think as when you were sharing, boundaries comes to mind, you know, within relationships. And I think there is something to be said, and granted, the type of relationship, even as you use the word, grace, I think of, 40 Days of Purpose, that, EGR, extra grace required. Some people are EGR, you know, they have, and I think I can have ongoing long-term relationships with people who require extra grace.
Yeah.
And yet I also know that.
Yeah.
That's an awareness that I have.
Yeah.
So that I'm not necessarily, I'm going to shape my day in such a way that is going to interact with that individual on a different timetable. And I am going to have some boundaries at times because, you know, that person may have a difficult time, you know, saying, well, you only have this much time. It's like, yep, I only have this much time. Now, granted, is that grace on my part? I think it's still grace, you know, to be able to be of help. But at the same time,
in those situations, the op has to do with a lack of self-awareness on the other side's part. And so therefore you have to have the awareness for them.
Sure. Right? And I think that's still,
if the relationship is going to be there, that's how it has to happen, because that self-awareness isn't there on that side's part. And I think that's the EDR, right?
Right. Like, and that's where it still comes back to being able to communicate and say, no, I can't do, I'm not going to, it's not that I can't. I don't have the ability to spend that much time, because otherwise I'm starting to affect these other plates that I have prioritized. Not that you're not, you know, an individual, you know, a person created in God's image with, you know, wonderful design and, you know, that kind
not
of
that
thing.
You're no priority.
Yes.
You just have all the priorities.
Correct.
Right.
And sometimes certain individuals want to be the sole priority.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we have to, same way, we have to have those difficult conversations in such a way that says, okay, yeah. Because when we do, that person might be able to recognize in some ways, okay, yeah, this is a pattern for me. You know, I tend to cling to people too much.
Yeah.
And I want them to be my sole, you know, help.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
My everything.
You're looking up. I just, you could go for it.
It's just, keep talking.
I can do that. But no, so I think there is a difference between how we handle people versus how we handle things.
So you agree.
And yet I'm also going to recognize relationships are a thing.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to be able to say, okay, yeah, is this thing, this relationship beneficial? And it doesn't have to be solely beneficial, but is it beneficial? And it can, and I think we can look at that relationship and say, yeah, it's beneficial, even if it is just beneficial to you, yeah. But it's typically not. It's a relation, a yeah. sound relationship is going to be reciprocal.
Right. And there's a continuum, okay. to use your phrase, of beneficial to negative, right? Like some relationships have negative, they hurt us more than they help, mm-hmm. right? So you can't just say, is this relationship beneficial or not to you and to me? It's also, but also, is it hurting me? In other words, going uh-huh. back to the plate thing, is it requiring more plates than I have room for, right? Like,
sure.
Or is our interactions you taking in a way that is painful, you know, or you hurting, uh-huh. you know, just directly?
And I think there's a line there, but I'm going to see even a relationship that may seem one-sided. I'm not saying that's not beneficial to me, because that's an area where I can serve other people.
Yes.
You know,
correct.
It's, and that doesn't make it negative, if, yeah. you know, to use the terminology.
Yeah, that's actually why I wanted to make the differentiate between a negative and just lacking in benefit.
Sure.
Because lacking in benefit doesn't mean don't have that relationship. Like you right. said, there are going to be relationships where you are meant to give in that way, and you are meant to,
and there are then they're still beneficial.
They're still beneficial, yes. because you're meant to give, and that's a benefit to you, right? Like
to yeah. both,
to both,
yeah.
yes.
At yeah, that yeah, point, yeah. yeah, no doubt.
Yeah,
you were. Did you find what you were looking
no.
for? Okay. You were just sending a text to Megan. I get it. I understand.
That's right.
No, that's okay too, but. Yeah, that's where I'm at with that dynamic, because to where I think relationships, and it's going to depend on the person, but I think relationships can be more difficult,
yeah,
you know, than things,
yeah,
you know.
Yes, yeah, I think so too. I honestly, when I brought the subject up, the concept of relationships didn't occur to me at all.
Oh, okay.
Right. It was very circumstantial, jobs,
okay.
callings, seasons. It was all about kind of that occupational side. That's the phrase we're using right now to differentiate between.
Yep.
But yeah, there it wasn't relational. So when you brought that, I'm like, oh, interesting. Yeah, we should definitely. I mean, I'm glad we're talking about this. But so I can't say I've given that a lot of thought. But I think, like, I agree with you that that's definitely the harder side. It definitely makes me think of recovery, in that that's a huge component of a healthy recovery plan, is replacing people, places, and things that are triggers, or, you know, that whole thing, drinking buddies, you know, or triggers or patterns that would cause you to fall back into that addiction. And so that's a pretty common scenario in recovery, is that you have to quit relationships.
Sure.
Because they are triggering, or they are nothing but unhealthy in terms of your recovery.
Yeah.
Right. And prior to recovery, you might have felt like it was the healthiest relationship in the world, because they supported you, they loved you no matter what, whatever. And it happens that there actually was a dysfunctional relationship, in that it was codependent, or that your drinking buddy, like I said. And so they're always supporting you because they're in it with you, versus recognizing, like, no, I can't support this. This is wrong, you know? And so, again, it may have felt like a healthy, beneficial relationship in your dysfunction, but as you move out of that, you recognize that's the opposite of health.
Wow,
That's exactly what I don't need.
And
having the, like you said, the very difficult decision in place to say, I have to quit that relationship.
Yeah.
And that can be really hard. And honestly, I want to say that's one of the biggest downfalls to recovery, is relationships.
Oh, sure.
And not wanting to quit those relationships, or, you know, you know, to use a better word, put boundaries in place to sure. where maybe that relationship can continue, but in a new way, if that person's willing to maintain those boundaries.
Yeah.
But again, a lot of times that's not even an option. You put those boundaries and they want to smash through them. And that's when you recognize, you know, that relationship has to be quit. So I'm really glad you brought relationships up, because I think it definitely makes me think of the recovery side in, you know, like you said, even personal relationships where people are taking too much, or, you know, I'm giving too much. It's maybe not even their fault. It's just, I don't have good boundaries in place.
Yeah. And I think that's where that, if coming back, maybe even some ways that sensitivity, I lose that sensitivity when I'm just exposing myself to the same people in the same ways over and over again. Yeah. And I don't necessarily recognize how, you know, that is affecting me.
Yeah.
And until I'm out of it. And even in that, it's amazing how little time it takes to actually, you know, expose myself to that relationship again. And I'm right back into the same things. Yeah. Even if I've been out for years, I can expose myself to that same relationship and I fall back into that same role.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting thing to think about from a addictions perspective, you know, when you think about it, you know, and even, you know, codependent relationships
not just addiction, but really any kind of, what would you call that, pathology?
Sure.
Where it can be triggering for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we've talked in the past about family, right? Like going back into, you know, going back home, right? And how we kind of fall right back into those old roles, and maybe they don't fit who we are now.
Yeah.
I think we've talked about that before.
Differentiation.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Differentiation. No problem. And that's not really quitting, but, you know, it's similar to these concepts. It's, I think boundaries.
I would define that more as an aspect of growth.
Yeah.
And I can have growth outside of that, but then I go back and it's like I take on that old role, and it's frustrating to my wife and my kids because they don't know who I am.
And me.
Yeah, exactly.
This doesn't feel right anymore. Yeah.
You're somebody different.
The more distance you get from that old self, the more when you fall back into it, you go, ew, this doesn't feel right.
Yeah. And I think that's where other relationships are also valuable, when we hear other people say, do you notice you become somebody different?
Hmm.
And what is that about?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Around that circumstance, around those people, that kind of thing. So,
that's good.
Well, thanks for sharing, Justin.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. Thanks for bringing up the relational side.
Oh, hey, happy to do it.
It would have been a bummer to get through this without covering that side of things. That's really good. So.
Well, know that I appreciate the topic as well.
All right,
are we good? Are we good to end this segment?
Yeah,
we're not quitting.
We're transitioning, Mark, to the rest of our day.
That's right.
that's the podcast.
That's how we see it.
Hey, thank you for listening to our podcast. If you like How I See It, please do all the things that podcasts tell you to do. Subscribe, rate, review, follow us, and or talk nicely about us on social media. If you want to reach out, the email is us@howiseeit.click. Yep, I said .click, as in .click. Please tell your friends about this show, and we'll see you on the next one.